Hey, newsman, welcome back.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Welcome to you.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. It's One Newsman and a Web Guy. And this week on the agenda, some real hard-hitting items. We've got this baseball player who underwent an amazing physical transformation in the middle of a game.
Yes, all in the attempt to improve his form.
I had never seen anything like it. I'm hoping it's the start of a new trend. I want to see this particular trend exported to Australia. I want to start seeing it happening in our local sport teams.
Yeah, I think it's the way of the future.
Yes.
It's very scientific, really.
We are also taking a look at a group of people who just had a gutful of modern life, like to head off, find a deserted island somewhere and just live there for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, they're looking for the simple life. I'm guessing they're not listening to podcasts like this one. Just
maybe not. Maybe not.
Although, maybe through their coconut internet radio.
Coconut radio. Also, a segment that you have dubbed Yellow Hands for Justice.
I think there's a hashtag. I think there's a movement in this.
The story of a, should we call him a Hollywood B grade celebrity? He's probably not quite your A grade.
No, you had to remind me who this person was. So, yeah, he's a B-er.
He's a B-er. He's shared a story during the week. Interesting story. Really fascinating and weird at the same time. We'll have a look at that. And as you say, it might be kicking off a new viral kind of trend again.
Oh, gee, I hope not.
It's certainly one that I won't be up for. But maybe you will be, so tune in, hear all about it, see what you make of it. Looking around today for something to talk about in the news, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a slow news day. I'm not sure. I don't actually mind a slow news day from a humanitarian point of view.
From that point of view, yes. For us, professionally, it can make you feel a bit worried, like you're missing out on something.
Found a kind of superficial thing here, but funny as well. What I have found today is a remarkable story from the MLB, Major League Baseball.
Yes.
And it involves a player and a sudden mid-game transformation. I don't remember hearing or seeing anything like this in any other sport. I'm starting to wonder if it might become more common though.
Wow, you have me intrigued now.
Yeah, I wonder if this could be the start of a new trend. So that's why we're going to take a quick look now. Houston Astros baseball team. They have a baseman. By the way, I don't know baseball terminology and terms. And so anyway, he's a baseman, so he stands on a base.
Okay. Yes.
Alex Bregman.
Breggers.
So he was batting. They say here his stats are 4-for-20 over the last 5 games.
That doesn't sound good.
What does it mean?
4 safe hits out of 20 attempts.
Oh, I didn't know you were a baseball expert. This is great. 4 safe hits. So that doesn't mean he got 4 runs necessarily.
No, I think, we'll have to check on that. But I would say, yeah, it's just getting to the first base. Uh-huh. That's an achievement.
Yeah, in 20 games.
So he's struggling a bit.
He's struggling. But if you're a baseman, are you expected to be great?
I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know how the depth and pecking order of a batting lineup works in baseball. But I'd assume you'd hope the majority of your blokes can handle the
willow?
Willow? I'm not sure if it's willow or American cedarwood.
So because he 4-for-20 sounds bad, so maybe he really is feeling the pressure. And this is what has prompted this extraordinary maneuver by him. He came out to bat and he looked a certain way. I'll just leave it at that. He had a certain physical appearance. And then when he came out to bat again the next time, he had undergone a transformation. He had shaved off his moustache halfway through the game.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So he comes out to bat with the moustache, not doing so good.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into the dugout.
Yes.
Wherever, I don't know, if they've got some change rooms he can sneak away to. Yes. Anyway, next time he comes out, no moustache anymore.
And
he still did not have a good game.
Ah.
He finished the game 0-4.
Right.
His average went down. So it didn't work, but fascinating little tidbit. Why did he do that? Is it linked to his form? Did he feel like he needed to get the monkey off his back metaphorically and shave the moustache? Would do that, maybe?
I think you've nailed it on the head. I think he probably had a good patch, and then as soon as that damn cookie duster adorned his face, things went downhill.
What's a cookie duster?
A moustache.
Okay. All right. It was really the talk of the town. I think eagle-eyed commentator must have picked it up. Mm. Good spotting. One of Alex's teammates was quizzed about it after the game. Pitcher Jarrett Cole. He said, "I had no idea. I don't pay attention to Alex's shaving habits in the middle of the game. I did like the moustache. I thought it played. Personally, I'm a fan of the stache. But I guess it's been sent down."
Yeah.
So his own teammates didn't even notice what he'd done.
Gee, imagine the equivalent in AFL, Tim. Dyson Heppel, the captain of the Bombers, has a dirty first half, comes back, and he's got short back and sides.
I'd love to see that.
That would be crazy. And Taylor Walker a few years ago had sported a pretty impressive, if not ugly, mullet.
Mm-hmm.
Goes goalless, comes out. Nice and neat.
Chop it off.
Away we go.
I don't know how long it takes to dye a head of hair, but it'd be interesting to see someone come out after halftime with green hair all of a sudden.
I think it also represents how slow a baseball game can be, that you feel composed enough. I don't know about you. Mm. I don't want to rush when I'm shaving.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gone in there and thought, I can whip this off in the time required. Well, and not nick myself and be coming out with pieces of tissue stuck to his lip.
He's potentially either not paying attention to how he's shaving or not paying attention to the game. Probably he's probably not doing both as well as he should, perhaps.
Mm.
After the game, he was actually asked about it, and he really just explained everything really, really well. Great insight into this strange decision. Asked about it afterwards, this was his quote, "I just shaved it." That was all he said. So perhaps want to just move on, sweep it under the carpet,
yep.
Move on. It didn't work. He still batted badly.
Have you ever had any routines or things you must do or things that you've changed to think, nah, this doesn't work for me anymore?
No, interesting. I have never. I remember Michael Jordan famously wore the same pair of like undershorts or something like that.
Yep.
He had success wearing them in college and then he never stopped wearing them again for the rest of his career. But I have not had the career of Michael Jordan. Maybe I need to find something like that, a good luck charm, yours?
I've written a lot of articles about footy players and that's often something you ask them. It seems less so these days, but... yeah, I think there are a lot of rituals that are set in place and I guess get broken once you lose that mindset. But I think it's all about, you know, if everything is the same each time, there's a theory that each result will come out the same. I personally, when I played a bit of local suburban cricket, there would be a certain pair of socks that I would wear, but generally it was because they were like my best socks and they were most comfortable.
Yeah.
I thought, these would be good for the whole day.
These ones don't have holes in them. Rafael Nadal has some of the craziest routines that he has to abide by. Number of times he has to, you know, cross the serve line, baseline, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A laundry list of just insane little things he's got to tick off. It's almost borderline mental illness, what he's doing. But anyway, maybe that's another episode.
I don't know if you noticed, but I've shaved off my beard while we were talking.
I thought you looked smoother somehow. Not sure what to make of this one, Newsman, so I'll need your expertise to help walk me through it. What we're going to call the case of Mr. PP Hands.
I like it already.
Yeah. Ron Perlman, actor. This is the headline. once peed on his hands before a handshake with Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein, we now know, as a villain facing numerous sexual assault allegations. And even before all this became public, when was it? Sometime 2017, towards the end of 2017, I guess, partway through 2017. Even before it all kind of came out in the open, it was sort of like, it turns out it was like a bit of an industry secret that he was, at least just a bit of a bad dude.
Bit of a jerk.
A jerk. And at worst, I think, you know, there were a few who knew that he was, well, actually, I don't know. Most seem to say, well, we knew he was a bad guy. We didn't know he was a criminal, allegedly, criminal monster. So anyway, Perlman was no fan of Harvey's.
Do you recognise Perlman? Is he someone that you've seen in?
I have seen him, yes. He is perhaps most famous for his work in the Hellboy movies.
Oh, yes.
He is Hellboy.
Yes.
There's a director, what's his name? Guillermo del Toro. He's done a number of different things, and he sort of works a lot with that guy.
Okay.
He's sort of like, you'd call him a cult sort of actor, I guess. He's not like a household name, but he's one of those guys you see him and you go, oh, yeah, him.
Yeah, I saw the picture before and thought, oh, he looks familiar, but I can't think of anything. But yeah. Hellboy has
triggered the memory.
So
he tweeted out during the week, this is the story he tweeted. Hey, actually, he didn't say hey, I added that. I'll just stick to the quote. Did I ever tell you about when Harvey Weinstein told me to make sure I shook his hand at a charity event? So I'm going to break in here. So he's been told by Harvey he must shake hands. And this is a bit of a glimpse into what kind of a guy. You know, obviously he did way worse. Again, allegedly accused or claimed to have done way worse than that.
Mm.
But the guy is just like an ego with a pair of legs.
Yeah,
like,
just trying to set up a situation to make him look. Yeah.
Imagine if I came in and said, Marcus, every time I see you in the office, you must shake my hand.
Okay, get stuffed.
Yeah. And I'd say, yep, fair call. I'll pick this.
But I would shake your hand every time.
I'll pick the quote back up.
Yes.
So I stopped in the men's room and pissed all over my hand, then went straight up to him on the receiving line. I think about that every time little Donnie opens up his KFC. So...
What disturbs you most about this? What concerns you the most about this?
Okay. At first glance, I feel like classic Ron, you know, this guy is just, you know, too much to handle. Even the abuse allegations aside, clearly the guy is just too much. He's overbearing and, you know, he's probably abused Ron, probably verbally, I'm speculating. But anyway, they've had run-ins, no doubt. Ron doesn't like him for some reason. So it's just his little way of getting back at this big evil guy that's too powerful to take on. Just a little, you know, secret little dig that he can enjoy himself. Haha, you shook my hand that had urine all over it. It's kind of funny. But then I think about it a bit more and I think, geez, Ron, I don't know, like... That's kind of weird that you had the, like, most people just have the idea and that's enough to actually execute it.
And the whole, oh, I think about it every time he digs into food. Like, let's face it, Harvey would have washed his hands, hopefully, thousands of times since then. So the wee germs would have disappeared quite quickly.
But there would have been that one time.
Before
before he washed the hands the first time that he had the urine.
He was probably digging into the hors d'oeuvres at this event and old Ron was just giggling like a schoolgirl.
So kind of funny in that way. He has received backlash to this. A lot of people were saying, well, hang on, Ron, you knew what a terrible guy Harvey Weinstein was and... That's what you did about it? You weed on your hands? Like, why not speak up about what he was doing?
Yeah, why not oust him?
Yeah. Fair call. We don't know if Ron actually did know about the abuse accusations. And even if he did, he certainly wasn't the only one who didn't speak up. Like, you know, this is all only unfolded in the last year. Mm. So plenty of people were sitting on this info. I guess they all felt like they were in a position where they had no power to do anything. So is it worth just doing this cheeky little stunt? Is that better than nothing? Or it's really probably worth zero in the overall scheme of, you know, bringing Harvey to justice. Yeah.
I mean, what's the campaign that ran through Hollywood and still is over the last 18 months? Is
it Hashtag Me Too.
Me Too.
Mm-hmm.
So that is people standing up and owning it and saying no longer acceptable.
Yeah.
Slightly better than piddle on the hands. Slightly better.
Well, yeah. I mean, what Ron did was never going to turn into a, you know, a mass movement. Hey, everyone, everybody, we on your hands, and then go shake the hand of whoever is oppressing you. Well, I don't know. Maybe there could be something in it.
Yellow hands for justice.
Yellow hands for justice.
Now, what sort of reaction has Ron got from it? Like, obviously, you've picked up on that he really hasn't done much apart from look like a little school kid in his attempt to, you know, belittle Harvey.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, there has been some negative comment, but, you know, look, in this story, the bad guy is Harvey Weinstein.
Mm.
So, you know, the criticism, any criticism leveled at Ron, it's kind of here or there. Apparently, he was vocal about Harvey Weinstein before the scandal broke. Mm. I'm not exactly sure of the quotes, but he, the story I read said he'd been quite vocal about his disdain towards Weinstein. And at that time, you know, that's maybe all he felt he could do.
You got to wonder how many people are doing these minor little acts of, what would you call it?
You had a good term for it.
Sort of like suburban terrorism.
Well, it's not suburban.
Well, not suburban.
It's like secret terrorism.
Secret one-on-one hygiene, terrorism.
Hygiene terrorism.
Yeah. I mean, we hear of chefs spitting on a steak because it's been sent back.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
If you want to see a funny but disgusting scene, go to the Google 90s film Mallrats and Chocolate Pretzels. I think they're not Chocolate Pretzels. It's an American name.
Okay.
But yeah, that is an example of minor terrorism.
Okay. Sounds like we'll just leave it there and maybe not expand on that.
No.
All right. Wow. Never knew this, newsman. There's sort of like a subculture of people who are off living on deserted islands as castaways. They're referred to as Robinsons. And I had no idea this was going on. There's actually an Australian guy who has just taken over the record for the longest serving castaway, shall we say it? 21 years he's done on a island up north, Cape York in Queensland. And he's just taken over the top spot from a Japanese man who's been dubbed the Naked Hermit. And he had done 29 years by himself, cast away on an island in Japan.
Right.
Did you know this was going on?
No. Like, when you first told me about this story, I was thought it was, you know, they'd been stranded, as is the typical, stereotypical person that's a hermit. But these people are choosing to live this life.
It's a life choice.
Whoa.
It's a lifestyle. The Australian guy was a millionaire whose business went down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So he just, you know, got out of it, just fled.
Yes.
the Japanese man, Masafumi Nagasaki, he explained that one day when he was on a flight, he was horrified with the amount of pollution that he saw in the sea below, and he exploded, quote unquote. So he was a city man with no outdoor experience, he says. He packed his bags, found this remote island hideaway, thought, oh, I'll spend a couple of years here. 29 years later, he was still there. I don't know. A few pieces missing from that story, I reckon.
Well, everything seems idyllic, but surely the government, or I mean, are they paying rates for their little piece of dirt? Are they, you know, are they paying a sewage bill for crapping in the lake, or what's going on?
Well, all good questions. The Aussie guy has some kind of lease arrangement.
Okay.
Sounds fairly...
Oh, that's good.
Sounds legit. The Naked Hermit, not exactly sure what his deal was. I've seen some vision of the conditions he was living in, and I don't think he should be charging, be paying rates, because it's like fair dinkum rudimentary, like Stone Age stuff. He is literally keeping a chalk calendar on a rock.
Uh-huh.
He has no clothes to wear. He lives, you know, he claimed he was living a fulfilling life, and I'm sure on some level he was, but, you know, to my amateur eye, it looked like he was living in squalor.
Squalor, yes.
So he's got no, you know, well, there's no facilities, no infrastructure at all. So I don't know what he'd be paying rates towards, because there's nothing. He's got nothing.
But, I mean, could people walk into this area, or does he get protective about his little hovel?
Oh, it's it is a legitimately remote spot. No one, people just don't go there. I'm not sure the ins and outs, but people don't go there. He's got it to himself. Anyway,
what's your take on it?
I think it's one of these things that sounds great in theory. The dream is, you know, get away from it all, you know, get out of the rat race, no more 9 to 5, go live on a beautiful beach, you know, do whatever you want. That's all the upside. But then the downside, like you alluded to, crapping in the lake.
Oh, the woods.
And, you know, I think I'm taking this from the plot of Castaway,
yeah,
the Tom Hanks movie, but what if you get a toothache?
Yes.
My first toothache, I'd be out.
Yeah.
I would be back on a... I don't even know how they get to these places, but I'd be calling in the emergency services to rescue me.
In some ways, I can understand what you'd get out of it, but as you said, I'm talking maybe weeks to months rather than years would give you a cleansing experience.
Yes.
I actually are good friends with a guy, a scientist that went down to Antarctica.
Okay.
And spent the year there.
Uh-huh.
And he came back and things were quite challenging, like even just crossing the road in Adelaide seemed a bit different. So you really, life really slows down, and I guess you get different priorities when you don't have a lot of contact with people. So I think those things would be a positive in it. Like, you know, take away the Facebook, take away all the mod cons. There's something really spiritual and refreshing about that. But, yeah, maybe these guys are taking it just a little too far.
Yeah, you feel like to do almost 30 years, which both of these guys almost have, there's something going on, surely. Although the Australian guy is still kind of, he's got the internet where he is.
Okay.
He still apparently trades online. and is doing okay by all reports. But you know, his business went bust. He's lost his family. So he really has fled a bad situation. The Japanese man, you wonder what's driving him. I don't know so much of his backstory. I can tell you the story, though, about his first couple of years on the island. He was wearing clothes. And then a typhoon hit the island, destroyed a lot of his belongings. And at that point, he stopped wearing clothes. And he says, walking around naked doesn't really fit in with normal society, but here on the island it feels right. It's like a uniform. If you put clothes on here, you'll feel completely out of place. The clothes thing seems to be a big part of it for him. He'd said he was adamant he didn't want to leave. He said he was going to die there. He's quoted as saying, because he was visited by an explorer a few months before he left, and he said that, I won't leave even if someone tells me there is a better place. All that I want... I can find here. I don't need anything else. I have. He's told his family he's going to die here. Anyway, a few months later, I think he did get sick. Authorities just picked him up and took him. So, like you were saying, reintegrating back into society. Imagine him 30 years by himself on an island, dropping back into, you know, for example, Tokyo. How could you do that?
Yeah, get on the first train.
that would mentally disintegrate someone.
Do you think people need people, or is that just a thing we like to say? Like, are these people becoming mentally ill from not interacting with other people face to face?
Yeah, that's definitely a factor. The Australian guy admits that the hardest part about him by himself on his island is no contact, gets lonely. And this is for real. He has put online ads looking for a girlfriend.
I was going to bring that up as a joke, but yeah.
Yep, and he's had no takers.
Right.
He said that the loneliness is the hardest thing. So even for a hermit, even a hermit... cut themselves off, completely isolated, they still need, even if it's a minimal amount, they still need that contact, don't they?